do that, I want you to join with me in prayer. Pray that God will bless His Word to our hearts by His Spirit. He will lead us into all. So I'll pray first in English and say also in the same in Japanese. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving and praise for all that you are. Father, we praise you and thank you this morning for your love, your faithfulness that far surpasses all that we can ask or think. Thank you, Father God, that you've given us exceedingly great and precious promises in your word. And we pray as we turn together to your word that, Lord, you would, by your Spirit, speak to each one of our hearts personally, that we may understand, Lord, what you are saying to our hearts, and that we may walk closer in our relationship with you in the coming days. So, Lord, we need you to pour out your Spirit upon us, each and every one here this morning, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Ten notes, now come sum up. どうか聖霊の助けと導きによってあなたが私たち一人一人の心に何を語っているかを理解できるように、 これからの歩みにおいて、より近くあなたと歩むことができますように。どうぞ神様の御言葉を祝福してくださって、また一人一人の上に御霊を注いでくださって、霊と誠をもって真の礼拝者としてあなたを礼拝することができますように。 Today we're turning to the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through to 8. Short passage, probably most of you are very familiar with it. And hopefully, you have it memorized at least verses 6 and 7. If not, I urge you to do so. And this is one of the most powerful promises in all the Word of God, and every Christian ought to have it memorized. I'm going to read from verse 6 through to verse 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Then go the reading of God's word there in verse 8. Today, first of all, I want to just say a word of thanks to those of you who have been praying for my wife. My wife Anne, as you know, was due to come back to Japan with me at the end of March. I had a ticket for the same flight, but due to the coronavirus and the restrictions on people who don't have a residency card, foreigners who don't have residency cards, she couldn't come, and so she's been stranded back there while she's at home in over 4 months now, and isolated. And as you all know, as soon as I came back on the airplane, I was infected with coronavirus and hospitalized for 2 weeks. And so my wife was, in a situation where she was really tempted to be taken over with anxiety and worry. But I want to just thank you for your prayers, because just this past few weeks she's been telling me how much God has blessed her through this passage of Scripture, and how she has been proving the truth of this promise, that when we make our request known to God with thanksgiving, that He keeps His promise, and that He protects our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And she's been really encouraging this past few weeks as she's been proving this powerful, precious promise of God. And so that's why I just want to thank you for the prayers, and I want to assure you that God has been answering. Still no way that we can say when she'll be able to come here and join us, but that's in God's hands, and trust Him with that. But just I value your continued prayers about that matter as well. Coming back to this passage of Scripture, like I said, in verse 7, we have one of the most precious, one of the most powerful promises of God in the whole of Scripture. But you know, in this day and age, it seems to me that more and more Christians, believers, are failing to prove this promise true in their own experience. The world has been taken over with fear and anxiety, and it shouldn't surprise us as believers if we read our Bibles. Jesus told us 2,000 years ago or so this would happen. As His return draws near, fear will take over. People's hearts will fail them for fear. But that is talking about unbelievers who don't know God, who've never experienced His peace. It should not be the case for us as believers. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says there that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, to the glory of God through us believers. All the promises, and I want to underline and emphasize that word all. Every promise in this book, from Genesis through to Revelation, every promise of God belongs to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a condition that has to be fulfilled before we personally, in our own experience as individual believers, prove the truth of God's promises. And that is when we say yes and amen to the promise, not just with our lips, but when we, from the bottom of our hearts, say yes and amen, in other words, put into practice and fulfill the condition with the promise, because you'll find almost always, with all the promises of God, there is a condition to be fulfilled in order to prove it as true for yourself in your personal experience. And the first verse in our reading today tells us what the condition is for this particular promise. Verse 6. Prayer and thanksgiving is the condition. And so, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not experiencing this peace, the peace of God protecting, keeping you in a healthy state of heart and mind, then you need to look again and ask yourself, are you fulfilling the condition of the promise? Now, I know it's easy to say that we pray every day, make our requests known to God, and give thanks on a regular basis. But I know from personal experience, like everyone else here who's a Christian, that it's not easy to put that into practice consistently. And we must make it priority in our daily lives and have a strong determination that nothing will stop us or hinder us from having that time with God alone, where we pray, where we make our requests known to Him with thanksgiving. And especially when we are tempted to anxiety, because that is when we don't feel like praying. And this Word of God today is telling us, it's especially at that time that we need to pray and make our request known to our Heavenly Father with thanksgiving. And His promise, like every promise, He will keep. If it takes Him to move all of heaven and all of earth to keep His promise, that's what He will do. Because God cannot lie. Now, you and I can make promises and fail to keep them. And maybe we'll not be called a liar because we did what we could. We did everything we could to keep the promise, but because we have limited resources, we're human, there are times we fail. But you see, with God, that is not the case. God does not have limited resources. And therefore, there is no excuse whatsoever for God not to keep His word. And that's why he is bound to, he has bound himself by his word. And if we fulfill the promise, the condition, he will definitely keep his promise. So if you're not experiencing this peace of God, keeping your heart and mind in a healthy condition in Christ, you really need to ask yourself, are you consistently praying, making all your requests known to God with thanksgiving? Because if you say you are and you're not experiencing this, you're making God a liar. That's the clear truth of the matter. And unfortunately, all throughout the world today, more and more it seems, believers are failing on this point. And it's not surprising because the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to be aware and not to be ignorant of the devices of the devil. 2 Corinthians 2:11. If we are ignorant of the devices of the devil, the Apostle Paul says here, he will take advantage of us and we will become victims of Satan's lies, Satan's devices. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I don't want to talk about Satan any more than you want to hear about Satan. But every believer needs to know a basic, and have a basic knowledge of the devices, the strategy, the tactics that Satan will use against you as a child of God. And there's no exceptions. You might want to try and ignore him, pretend he doesn't exist, and that's exactly what he would love you to do, because that's his biggest lie of all. Presents himself as an angel of light. He will never present himself for who he truly is. But if you're a believer, a child of God, you need to know a basic knowledge. And it's like this. It's very simple and easy to remember. And I really want to urge you to remember this. You know, in this day and age, believers need to know this and remember it. And it's very simple. This is it. God works through faith. Satan works through fear. That's all. And you know, if you get those confused, and that is the strategy that Satan will use, he's trying to convince you that it's God that's causing you to fear. And the Bible talks about godly fear. That is this subtle distortion by Satan of the truth. Godly fear never causes you to live with anxiety or dread. Godly fear is a healthy, reverent respect for God, and not in any way negative. All negative fear, dread, anxiety, worry, without exception, does not come from God. Because if it did again, God is a liar, making himself a liar. He's telling you here, be anxious for nothing. And he repeats it more than any other command in the whole of the scriptures. Fear not. Don't worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. And then he does something or he causes you to live with anxiety, fear, or worry. That is impossible. But this is how Satan deceives believers, gets them confused, and living controlled by fear. And this is the very basic knowledge of the strategy of Satan that we all need to know and remember. God works through faith. Satan works through fear. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are told that God has given us an armor that we should put on to protect ourselves against the devices of the devil. Now, God will not put it on for you. God will not dress you up in this armor. Every one of us is responsible for our own protection in this sense. It's interesting that my wife, the one thing she kept emphasizing when she told me how she was proving this promise to be true, she said, I do my part and God does his. In other words, you know, like I said, he fulfills the condition, God does his part. He keeps his word. Now, God will not do what you and I are supposed to do. And he will not put the armor on for you. You've got to put it on. Now, I'm only going to take one thing out of that armor, which is relevant, particularly to today's message. And it's verse 16, Ephesians 16. Above all, take up the shield of faith, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I wonder, do you understand or do you know how that works? How do you take up a shield of faith? It's not believing in God's existence up there somewhere looking out for me. The faith that the Bible teaches is much more than that. It's faith in the promises of God, specific promises. He that comes to God must believe not just that he is God, but that he also is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. And taking up the shield of faith means you memorize promises of God, and when Satan comes with his lies, any hint of anxiety, worry, fear, and the fiery doubts, his typical one is accusations, he's called the accuser of the brethren. And he will convince you that there's things that God has against you. That God is not for you, that God is against you. Because you did this or that sometime or other, and you've committed this sin or that sin. Now that is his number one strategy. And that's why he's called the accuser of the brethren, the father of lies. He's the inventor of lies, the supreme liar. Jesus said there's absolutely no truth in him whatsoever. And when he comes with those lies, we have to take the word of God, promises that we have memorized, and we have to quench those lies, those fiery darts, with God's word, God's promises. Now, the Lord Jesus himself had to do that. The sinless Son of God in a wilderness for 40 days being tested and tempted. And every time Satan came with his lies, Jesus quoted scripture to quench the lies of Satan. Now, if the Son of God had to do that, and he was sinless, now how much more do we as his followers? So what I'm saying is, take up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. There's no other way than memorizing promises of God that the Holy Spirit, when you need them, will help you to remember them, bring them to your mind. If you haven't memorized them and done your bit, the Holy Spirit can't bring them to your mind when you need them. We do our bit, he does his bit. So, taking up the shield of faith means memorizing promises of God that you can use to quench the lies of Satan. And the reason Satan does this is because he does not want any child of God to live with peace in their hearts. He wants to destroy the one thing that God wants most of all for you to have in all circumstances. The peace, his peace, protecting your heart and mind continually in the worst of situations and circumstances. Satan's chief strategy is to rob you of that peace, to destroy that peace in your heart. Now you need to know that and remember it, and that's why you need to remember Bible promises that you can use to quench. That's what Jesus did. You don't have to verbalize it, you know, you don't have to speak it out loud. Just within your own heart, remind yourself. But you know, the most fundamental promise on this matter of fighting the good fight of faith, the most fundamental promise, again, Hebrews 10:17, please memorize this and make sure you never forget it. Because all the promises of God are all hinged and based on this. The most fundamental promise of the new covenant, Jesus on the cross, sealed for us with his blood. And the most fundamental promise that all the other blessing of God is based on is this. Full, complete forgiveness. Very short verse. And he said, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 33 is where he's quoting from. In other words, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now, we all remember the first part. God's promise to forgive. But what I'm trying to emphasize here is you need to understand and remember this part. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. In other words, you can be sure when things from your past come up and trouble you, and you feel like you're beginning to worry and get anxious and fear, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that is not God. God will never, ever bring up and cast up against you to accuse you, to blame you, or condemn you, anything in your past. That is the chief strategy of Satan. And unless you realize that, you will have no peace. Because Satan will not let you have any peace He's the accuser. God is not the accuser. God has justified freely and forgiven us completely. And that means he will never ever bring them up again. Now this is the most fundamental promise of the new covenant. The promises of God are all hinging on that. If we don't have that, all the rest of God's promises mean nothing. Now remember, give thanks daily in prayer, making your request known. Not just praying, making your request known, but giving thanks is always added in this context. It's also very important. Psalm 103, verse 2, forget not all his benefits. If you don't pray and give thanks, you will go through your life day by day and you will not notice half or even a fraction of all that God is doing for you continually. It's when we pray and begin to give thanks that we then realize increasingly how much God is doing for us, and it encourages and builds up our faith. That's why the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. And then, as we saw last week, in verse 3, goes on to say, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. It's connected to praise and thanksgiving. The forgiveness, the healing of heart and mind, as well as our spiritual healing and the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. So I'm moving on to the second point here, and that's moving on from the condition. Next we have the promise in verse 7. And the promise says it's the peace of God that passes all understanding, so there's no way I can explain it. It surpasses all human understanding, so it's unexplainable. Inexplicable. But Jesus helps us a little bit with the understanding of what it means. John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the word gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, called God's peace here in Philippians 4, verse 7. John 14, 27, Jesus calls it my peace, his peace. The same peace. And on the Japanese translation it says heiwa rather than heian, but it's the same word in the original. Peace with God and the peace of God. Given to those who have received Christ as their Savior, and anyone who hasn't a personal relationship with Christ knows nothing of this peace. It's not of this world. Jesus said, what I give to you is not as the world gives. It's not dependent on anything in this world. Your circumstances, no matter how terrible they may be, we can have this peace in the worst possible circumstances on this earth because it doesn't depend on those circumstances. Now, you've probably heard me before, but when I talk about this, I always refer to my personal experience in the Hanshin earthquake because that was the most powerful experience where I proved this precious promise. In the middle of Kobe, in a fourth-story apartment of a apartment building, buildings all around collapsing, many people in the neighborhood dead. And when that building started to shake violently, my wife, four small children, and myself, and I remember so vividly thinking, nobody, not even God, could be in control here. But in that instant, because I was in the habit of daily prayer and making my request known to God, instinctively, my heart just cried out to God, Lord, where are you? And immediately, the words of an old hymn that I hadn't heard for more than 10 years, but I knew instantly the still, small voice of God telling me that He was with me and He was in control. And like I say, He did not tell me, you're okay, your family's okay, you're all going to get out of here alive, safe and alive. He didn't tell me that at all. He told me something much more precious, much more powerful. He said, if this building collapses and you die and your wife and children and you all die here together, there's nothing to fear. Even in that situation, I will be with you. Just like it said in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And my heart was so filled, overflowing with this peace. And I'm sure anyone who saw me, we did get out, and I'm sure people who saw me must have thought my head was gone, because I was so calm, so filled with peace. For the next 2 weeks until I got a flight out of Japan, nothing could disturb the peace of God that was protecting and guarding my heart and mind. Now, that's an extreme example, but I use it because we're living in extreme circumstances in these days. The whole world has been taken over by fear. And we as believers must not, should not allow that to be the case with us. This is His promise, that He will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ in all circumstances. And He said, we looked at it before, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, for to this also you have been called, and be thankful. Now the peace of God controlling. It says God has called us to this. It's His purpose in our salvation. To this you have also been called. It's God's will, God's purpose for His children, every one of them without exception, at all times, never to have their heart controlled by fear, anxiety, worry, dread, any of those things. God's will, God desires of His children that His peace, we let His peace rule in our hearts. He doesn't force it. It's like I say, repeating again, we have to do our bit by refusing to listen to the lies of Satan. And if you listen to the word media, without any doubt, you're listening to the lies of Satan. Because he controls. as the Bible calls it, the God of this world, controlling the hearts of unbelievers. So fill your mind with God's truth, God's promises, and don't listen to anything that is going to rob you of this peace, because it's not of God. It's from Satan. And it's as plain and simple as that. And I know that I'm really emphasizing and repeating and going over this, but it's because what I'm seeing, so many believers are not proving this promise in their personal experience. And it's not pleasing to God. God has called you to peace, to have His peace rule and control your heart. And there's our part and there's His part. And it says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 8, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, guarding your heart means being careful what you allow to go in there. That's a part of it. That's why I'm saying, be careful when you're listening to the world's media. Don't listen to everything or anything that robs you of your peace. It's not. Guarding your heart. So we do our bit, God does His. Now the final point here, in verse 8, once we fulfill the promise, once we experience the peace, we still have to move on from there. We have to learn how to maintain and keep that peace. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in verse 8 in Philippians 4, when he tells us what things we need to fix our minds on, what things we need to be thinking about. And so the third point from verse 8 is choosing correct thoughts. Again, no one else can do this for you. Not even God. This is your responsibility and my responsibility. Each one personally, individually. To take control over your own thoughts. And the Bible teaches us how to do it. Now, all these things here that are listed, don't need to go through them one by one. All I need to say is that thoughts that are in keeping with the teaching and the value of Scripture, that's what all these things are about. Those thoughts, if you're a believer, will come from the Spirit of truth, who lives within your heart, the Holy Spirit of God brings new thoughts, new desires, new values. That is the experience of every born-again believer, every new creation in Christ. God doesn't leave us to our own will. It's not about who has a strong will and fighting this fight all by ourselves. The Holy Spirit is helping us. We just have to choose His thoughts rather than the other ones that are not in keeping with His word, not in keeping with His values. And another way to identify them is, as I said, if they cause you anxiety or worry, as soon as you become aware of any of those thoughts, it's your duty, your responsibility. If you want to have victory as a Christian and not be thrown around by Satan and defeat and live controlled by fear, it's your duty, your responsibility, when you become aware of any thought that is not from God, that you have to reject it. Don't allow yourself to think about it any further. You make a decision, you ignore it, you turn your thoughts to anything else, anything that is healthy and wholesome, especially in certain cases where it's so obstinate and stubborn, then you just remind yourself of promises of God. And that's why, after it said, let the word of, or the peace of God control your heart, you know what the next verse is? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You cannot remember truths of God and promises of God if you haven't memorized them. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. And we choose. You know, it's a very simple illustration, but it's just, you may have heard me use it. It's one I always use when it comes to this, about our thought life and what we're being taught here. And it's like birds flying over your head. You can't stop them. And all sorts of thoughts will enter your head. And Satan will never give up putting thoughts in your head to rob you of your peace. Take away the peace of God from your heart. You have you living in dread and fear and worry. But listen, it's like birds flying over your head. You can't stop them. But what you can do is you can stop them making their nest in your hair by choosing to think on thoughts that we're told to do here. Think on these things. It says meditate, but, you know, meditation is not in the sense of emptying your head and focusing on nothing, is what some religions teach about meditation. This is about filling your head with the truth, with God's promises, and fixing your thoughts on those truths whenever you feel you're being attacked, being accused, or whatever else. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Fight the good fight of faith. It all starts in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts. You win the battle there, you have victory, you have peace controlling your heart. You lose the battle here, and you will not have the peace of God controlling and ruling your heart. So, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, just finishing here, but let's look at 2 Corinthians 10. It sounds very severe, sounds very strict, but like I said, God has given us His Spirit to enable us to do this. Verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's that last little phrase there. Now that sounds maybe very strict, severe, but like I said, this is what it means to fight the good fight of faith. Every thought brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As a believer in Christ, you are not allowed to think everything and anything that you please. You've got to choose, is this worthy of God? Is this in keeping with the scriptures, with the values that the scripture teaches? Is this thought not worthy of God, or is it going to end up in causing me worry and fear? And you've got to choose which ones, which things you choose to think and dwell on and take, you know, allow that line of thought to take its course. That's what it means, bringing every thought into captivity. And you know, like I said, it's a fight. The Christian life is not an easy life. Just sitting back and God doing everything for you. We have our part to do. Like all these promises. You fulfill the conditions. God proves to you his faithfulness personally. That all the promises of God are yes and amen. For his glory through you and I as believers. Just one last verse for your encouragement. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a word there, sound mind. The literal meaning is the saving of our minds. And that's why today's message I chose as a title, Healthy Hearts, Healthy Minds. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is never from God when it's negative and harmful and causing you to worry or have anxiety of any type. That is not godly fear. That is satanic fear. And we don't want to be controlled by it. But this is what it takes. And God has given us, equipped us with all that we need that we can have the victory. That we can have his peace. Controlling, guarding, protecting our hearts and minds in the worst possible circumstances. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Again, I'm going to pray in English and in Japanese. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for all the promises of God. Your word tells us by the Apostle Peter's letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, unto us is given exceedingly great and precious promises. And we thank you, Father, that they are for every child of God, for every believer in the Lord Jesus. But Lord, we need you to help us in our daily lives to be prioritizing our time of making our requests known to you and giving you thanks in order to prove this particular promise in our own experience. So help us, Lord, we pray, to be aware when distractions come, not to give in, but to be determined that we are going to have time to make our requests known to you every day in our daily lives. Lord, we just want to thank you for the victory that we can have in our Savior over all the powers of darkness.天の父なる神様、皆をあがめて感謝いたします。大いなる尊い約束を与えてくださっていることを心から感謝いたします。どうか日々の生活の中で祈りの時を 守って自分の願い事と感謝を捧げることができますように一人一人を助けて導いてください。そうすれば全ての人生に超える 私たちの心と思いを完全に守ってくださると感謝します。どうか神様、信仰の戦いを勇敢に戦うことができますように、一人一人を強めて助けてください。感謝して、主イエスキリストの皆によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。